Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
A thank you note you got from your lawn and your plants and your bushes and your flowers. 78 sunshine with some recent rain here in Chicagoland. Bob Bertog is the president of Bertog Landscape Company. Pretty nice day to be a gardener, hey, Bob?
It certainly is nice outside today, John. How are you?
Good, good. What's the words of wisdom you have for us today?
Well, it's kind of a repeat of last week. This hot, humid weather is not good for, it's very favorable for diseases in your grass and in your plants, but we can't control that, so all we have to do is be on the lookout for it and be able to identify what it is, and then some of them will require treatment, some of them won't. So if you're seeing brown patches and stuff, make a call to your local landscaper or look at it, or you can try and Google it, but probably give you a better shot at it.
It'd be nice if there was some sort of, you've been talking about this mold and stuff that might grow in your lawn when it's like this. There's not just some sort of moldicide I can spread around and it'll just kill whatever's cropping up there. There's nothing I can just put down to prevent it or kill it.
There are preventative. But most of the modes of action with fungicides, they're very specific for what they're going to attack. The other problem with fungicides is they are the most expensive product you can put on your turf. So it's a budget item. Like if you have an unlimited budget, like a lot of country clubs, they put down all the preventative, and that's why you don't see a lot of diseases on golf courses. But the average homeowner doesn't want to spend that kind of money
really
for a preventative.
Mm.
Yeah.
708 said, when do you prune hydrangea bushes?
It depends on the variety, but the most common ones, like the Annabelles that are in full bloom right now, a lot of people like to let those flowers fade, and then they actually turn brown, and they leave them up for the winter. Anything that's flowers on new wood, which is the majority of your hydrangea, you prune them in the spring. Or if you're like me, I don't like the winter interest. Personally, after the first snowfall, they just flop over anyway. So I cut mine in the fall. So either in the fall or in the early spring, and then they flower on new wood. So if you want, even now with the ones that are in great bloom, you can cut them and put them in a vase in the kitchen or in the dining room.
Yeah, right. You know, I've got some new bushes that were planted last fall, and they came in nice this spring, but they're coming in unevenly, which is fine. But, you know, some parts are growing more to the right than, say, on the left side. But I have it in my head that if I kind of shape it and cut some of these branches back, that it will deliver more nutrients and energy to the full plant rather than having it go over here. I don't know. What do you think about that, Bob? Does that make any sense, what I said?
It does. Now is the time to be shaping them for corrective shaping, like you're talking about. One side balances, it's out of balance. So mm-hmm. You want to prune the right side so it looks more like the left. Some people like to have really tightly trimmed or pruned shrubs and more of a Disney look. A lot of people like the natural look. Personally, I'm a fan of the natural where it looks the same all season and where it's not a nice tight hedge. So it's a matter of preference. And then you also have to know the species of the plant you're dealing with, because if it's a spring flowering plant and you go and you start whacking away at it now, there's a chance you could be cutting off the buds that have been set for next spring.
Hmm.
So you might have missed a window depending on what variety of plant it is.
115-312-981-7200. Steve, what can we do for you? You're on with Bob Bertog.
Hi, John and Bob. Hey, thanks for doing this every week. Hey, Bob, I've got bagworms on one of my juniper bushes. Is it too late to spray that? And if I can't spray that, what would you recommend, please?
Depending on how big the nest is of the bagworms, a lot of times it's just easier to just cut it off at the branch and just throw the whole thing in the garbage. If it's going to make a big impact on how it looks, what you want to do is get an insecticide that's labeled for bagworm and put it in a hand pump sprayer, and then just, you got to make sure, don't just spray the bag though, because it'll still protect what's inside of there. You got to jam it in through the webbing and spray it inside the bag.
Oh, okay. Yeah, these are real small.
They're
real small. Yeah.
And I'd probably just cut them out and dispose of them.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Please ask Bob why we keep getting mushrooms growing in our yard. Thank you. 847, my yard has lots of mushrooms. Any tips on how to stop them from growing? We got a puppy. so we picked them daily because we had previous experience with another dog, ate the mushrooms, nearly ended up with liver failure. Bob, what do you do about all those mushrooms?
Well, unfortunately, the only thing you can really do is mechanical removal. Now, all the rain we've had and the humidity encourages more fungal growth because, again, mushrooms are just another type of fungi. So it does indicate, though, that you have good organic matter underneath the turf, which probably was it's a decaying tree that used to be there or some shrubs. Unfortunately, there's not a cure-all. We joke about it, but I always tell people just either practice with your 9-iron or your chipping wedge.
Yeah, I mean, it really is that. And it's amazing how much can pop up overnight. You come up the next morning and you go, put a camera on these things. They must grow right before your very eyes, some of them.
They do grow quickly.
All shapes and colors. And we talked about that dog vomit that comes up on the mulch. And you just kind of got to kick that around and blend it back in. Right, Bob?
That's correct.
I have new sod that was just installed last week with all the rain we had yesterday and this morning. When should I start watering it again?
If it's only a week old, I would, and if it's going to be in the 90s like they're talking about over the weekend, I'd still keep watering it every day.
Please ask Bob. Yeah, go ahead, Bob. Finish that thought.
I was going to say, if you think about that rain that we had a couple days ago, it came down so fast and quickly, dumped an inch of rain in less than 30 minutes. The majority of that water just ran off into the sewers. It didn't get absorbed into the soil.
Let's talk to Bill on line two. Bill, mm-hmm. What can we do for you? You're on with Bob Bertog.
Hi, I hope you can answer vegetable questions. I love green beans, and I grow Kentucky Wonder pole beans and bush beans. And with the pole beans, the squirrels and rabbits eat 100% of the sprouts before anything grows. So I started growing them downstairs under a grow lamp in a large peat pot, and they ate two-thirds of that. With the bush beans, I'm now on my third planting, and in about 14 pots, I've put in the third planting a total of about 200 seeds. So I finally have some growing in each one of those pots, but we just had a nice rain, and I'm not sure how many of these they're going to eat. Anything I can do to keep the bunnies and squirrels from eating my crop?
Well, I would start by maybe changing your garden type to do a raised garden, because, you know, if they can't get to them. But the other thing you could do is you can use a product called Milorganite. It's a fertilizer, and it has a scent to it that squirrels and rabbits don't care for, because it's sewage from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And if you just sprinkle that around the edges of your pot, that might help deter them.
Although maybe they'll hold their nose and go after them anyway. I wonder why people don't put up fencing or some sort of caging around there. What do you think of that, Bob?
You could do that too. You could put like a bird netting around it.
Which is a drag. I mean, it doesn't look as good, and part of the fun is seeing and having easy access to your plants.
Right.
The rabbits, I would put some sort of netting around there, I guess, or just maybe, I don't have a solution, Bob. I'll stop fulminating here.
Rabbits got to eat too, John.
I know. I was thinking, I would look up rabbit stew because it sounds like they're eating really well. Can Bob recommend a fertilizer for Japanese maple trees? I have not fertilized my trees or shrubs, Bob. Is there a one product fits all sort of thing?
You know, there's just so many of them. You wouldn't just find something that's labeled for a deciduous tree, and there's a good balance of it. The products are changed so much every year. These manufacturers come out with new stuff, so they all have the newest and best mousetrap. But just get a nice balanced fertilizer that says it's for trees and ornamentals, and just at your local garden center.
I've got 5-year-old black gum tree that I enjoy. The leader was damaged by cicadas. Is there anything I should do?
It should grow back. The damage from the cicadas still is basically just affects the tips of the branches. It should grow back, not necessarily this year, but next year you'll get the growth back on top of it.
Hey, everybody. Bob does not want to hear about your cicadas anymore. Okay, they came, they went, and they ruined the tips of your trees, but the answer is your trees are going to be okay. Pretty much
Yes. That's
the answer, right, Bob?
That's correct.
And I'm sure Bob will take your questions, but I mean, that seems to be the answer each week. What about Tom? You're on WGN. Tom, what can we do for you?
Yeah, Bob, I needed to know I have a rose bush, the kind that climb. And it's in a pot. It's doing fine. I want to know if I can put it in with the heat and everything that we, and the rain we've been having. Or should I wait till the fall?
It's in a pot now, and you want to put it in the ground?
Yes.
And most plants prefer to be in the ground rather than in a pot because they have more protection. The soil is more constant temperature. It'll do fine, and it'll actually do better in the ground than it will in the pot. If you want to move it now, it's fine.
Okay, great. That's all I needed. Thank you so much.
Okay, good luck to you. Thanks for the call. It's 1-24-312-981-7200. Linda, I said I don't want any more questions about cicadas.
Okay, so it's not a question about cicadas. It's about my arborvitaes that were young, and I put mosquito netting around them to keep the cicadas away. We did not even get any cicadas in our yard. And when I took the netting off, they are now all starting to die. Did I have them maybe tented too tight?
If anything, that maybe if you did have too much on it, it might have shaded, put, you know, too much shade for them. And then when all of a sudden they're out in the sun, like anything else, just a sudden change. And
it wasn't too shady. I mean,
what about the health of the plants? Are they otherwise healthy, but just the flowers are gone?
Well, it's an arborvitae. They don't have flowers.
Pardon me, arborvitae.
They are evergreens, yeah, and they were young. I didn't want them. I mean, they had been doing great, and I wanted them to stay doing great. So, you know, I provided water. We've had a lot of rain. And now that I've taken the netting off, they're all dying from the inside out. I'm not sure if that'll come back or if I...
Okay, hold on. Hold on, Bobby.
You already answered. I was going to ask the question: are they dying from the inside or from the tips to the out from the outside in? If they're dying from the inside out, it's just the plant's natural way of survival. So what it does is it drops its inner needles, and then it doesn't have to feed as much of the plant. So it's going to put all its energy into the outside of the plant. The fact that it's shedding in the middle is a good. It's not the plant's going to be okay. It's very common for arborvitae to shed their inner needles.
Ah, that's good to know. Okay, so maybe not as pretty as you'd like, but it will get through this. That's the hope. That's the plan, says Bob Bertog. Maybe one more question from Mary Ann. You're on WGN with Bob. Go ahead, Mary Ann.
Hi, guys. I had in my front yard, Nicor had a dig, and so now they put like the netting with the grass seed and that like hay. Mm-hmm. It's been 2 weeks. Do I have to pick up that hay? Or, cause I was told by a neighbor that that stuff might ruin the lawnmower.
Well, what you need to be more careful of is the thing that's holding the hay in place. They put metal spikes in there, and then you want to make sure those are down low enough so if you do run a mower over it, you're not going to ruin the blade. It depends. There's many different varieties. Some of it, they decompose on their own. That's more expensive. Thinking that it's Nicor, they probably use the less expensive product, and once the seed germinates and starts to grow, it's probably going to be better if you rake up the hay that's there.
So what do you rake it up just gently, huh?
Very gingerly rake it up gently. I'd be surprised if the seed germinates, but unless they use the annual ryegrass, which they may have done, just to get something to germinate. But it's going to either way, you're going to have to top dress and overseed it in the fall. It's going to need more work.
Yeah, right. But it seems to me like I've had that done, Bob, and I don't remember raking up the hay. I think I just kind of left it there. It had a mesh on top of it, and the grass poked up through, something like that. That's how it happens a lot of times, right?
Exactly. There's several different products that they could use to cover it and protect it.
But maybe the best advice for her is gently take it up once this grass gets established, and then just realize you're going to have to do a lot of this over again in the fall.
Exactly. A little more work in the fall. You won't need to put the netting on it, the covering, because it'll be cool enough. The whole purpose is for to hold the erosion and to keep it cooler. So
we did this last year, I guess maybe 2 years ago. But anyway, the first thing that came in, grass seeds coming in. I'm going, hooray, we're going to get a beautiful lawn. Look at all that grass. And then the weeds just took over everything. And you said, don't worry about that. They'll fight it out and the grass will do just fine, more or less. And that's what happened. Now, I have some weeds, but mostly I've got a lawn there. And you just kind of have to let it find its course. What do you think about that speech I just gave?
That was awesome. And then once it gets established, then you can go ahead and use your herbicide for the few weeds that did survive. You can knock them out.
Okay, Bobby, let's talk next week. Is that okay?
Sounds good, John. Have a great week.
Bob Bertog is the president of the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling.